I wonder if you're the same as me. I'm not very good at asking for help. Perhaps you're the same. Like most men, perhaps, I'd rather drive around in circles for hours around a city that I don't know rather than ask for directions. Are you the same? I'd rather throw the half-made IKEA bookcase called something ridiculous like Splurgengast. I'd rather throw it away than call the helpline in shame and humiliation. And when I take a car to the garage, I do so very, very embarrassed to ask for help. So I stroll up to the mechanic and I say, well, you know, I'm pretty sure it's not to do with the oil because I checked that myself. That's right, I knew how to open the bonnet. I opened up the bonnet and I used the dipstick. That's right, I know all the car terminology. And I know that it's got enough oil. I also know that it's got nothing to do with the windscreen wiper fluid, because I checked that myself. Yes, I'm very competent when it comes to cars. And of course, I would fix this job as well, were it not for the fact that I'm incredibly busy. So I've asked you to do this for me. Are you like that? It's very embarrassing, isn't it, to ask for help at times. And that might be the slightly funny side of it. But there's a deadly serious side to it as well. We're part of a society which is allergic to our own helplessness. We're told, aren't we, all the time, that we're to be independent, that we can solve most of our own problems. We're allergic to our own helplessness. And so it is that we don't like asking for help. And so it is that we've all experienced the isolated, housebound old man. He's got so many problems, he never sees his family. And yet when you ask him whether he needs any help, he says, well, I don't want to be a drain on anyone. How many times have you heard that before? Or there's the parent struggling to make ends meet on too little sleep, trying desperately to be at the right place at the right time, trying desperately to satisfy seemingly a million different demands on his time and feeling like he's failing at all of them. You see him and you ask, how's life? He looks frazzled. And he says, well, I'm just very busy at the moment. But he'd never ask for help. There's the teenager crying alone in her bedroom, searching on the internet for answers to questions that are too important and too difficult to ask to a person. We live in an age where we're allergic to our own helplessness, where we don't want to ask for help. We're ashamed to do so. And yet our reading from the psalm this morning, Psalm 121, is a cry for help. And we've got so much to learn from it. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where is my help going to come from? Well, life is a journey, isn't it? And for most of us, there are challenges on the road today. And as we look into the future, we can see even greater challenges on the horizon. When the psalmist said this, he was on a journey to Jerusalem. This is a psalm of ascent, a psalm of going up to Jerusalem, to the holy place, to meet with God. This is a psalm of pilgrimage. And as he journeys on this pilgrimage, the future looks challenging. Jerusalem is in mountainous place. He can see the mountains looming ahead of him. And of course, that's a fact of great excitement. The journey's at its end. But also, it's a fact of great peril and menace. It's going to be hard. It's going to be physically dangerous climbing that mountain. And of course, there may well be robbers hiding in the mountains as well. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from? The big headline message from Psalm 121 is this: help comes from the Lord. Help comes from the Lord. That was true for the psalmist as he made his journey to Jerusalem, as it is true for you in your journey through life, as the road seems tricky and the future looks bleak. Help comes from the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Well, it sounds so obvious, doesn't it? If you've got problems in life, go to the Lord for help. And yet at the same time, that idea, help comes from the Lord, sounds so pious, sounds so unrealistic, doesn't it? Are we really saying that God's going to make me on time for work or the school run? Are we really saying that? Are we really saying that God is going to help me with deadlines at work or surround me with friends and family to banish my loneliness? Are we really saying that? Of course, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds incredibly pious. The road is challenging, but help comes from the Lord. It does sound ridiculous until we understand who God is. And that's what Psalm 121 wants to help us with. We need God's help. But the question is God up to the job of helping us? Is he up to the job? I think it was probably around 2011 that the security company G4S won the contract of the century. The contractor provides security for the London 2012 Olympics. There must have been great excitement in G4S headquarters on landing this contract. It was going to mean a lot of work and a lot of revenue for them. But as time went by and the Olympics crept ever closer, the sheer scale of the task must have seemed overwhelming. Perhaps there was a sudden realization in the boardroom of G4S. Is it really true that millions of people are going to come to London to watch this? And we've got to keep them all safe. Is it really true that the Olympics doesn't just take place in London, as suggested in the name, but also down on the coast as well? How are we going to manage all of that? Must have seemed a daunting task. And so humiliated, they went to the government just months before the Olympic Games took place, cap in hand, asking for help. And sure enough, the military filled that gap and did a great job doing so. But G4S simply wasn't up to the task. It can often seem like God isn't up to the task. Is he really going to help us as life seems difficult? That's the question that hangs over Psalm 121 and maybe is in your mind this morning. But who exactly is God? Well, verse 2 tells us, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the maker of the road, of the mountains, and even the robbers. There is something in your life that's bigger than any threat that looms on the horizon. And if you think about it like this, there's no threat that God did not make. He's bigger than the bank statement you can't bear to read. He's bigger than the illness that you feel is overwhelming every part of your life. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than every threat, every illness that you face. Every threat is well within his power, and nothing will stop him. I wonder how you would feel if you had your own personal guard. It'd be rather fantastic, wouldn't it? A Royal Marines commando, let's say, with you every step of the way, every day of the week, to help you out. It'd be rather fantastic, wouldn't it? Can you imagine what use you'd put your Royal Marines commando to if you had a pet one? It'd be rather good, wouldn't it? Imagine as you look up your home at night, afraid of being burgled. Imagine the look on the burglar's face as your commando emerges ominously from the water butt next to the back door with a great shiny knife between his teeth. It'd be priceless to see that, wouldn't it? There'd be no problem with the kids being late for school as the receptionist and teachers go weak at the knees as they see your strapping commando do the school drop-off. That painful interview with the bank manager won't be nearly as daunting with a 6'5" Royal Marine standing behind you in the bank manager's office. Life would be so much easier with a guard, wouldn't it? And you know, that's exactly the picture Psalm 121 wants you to have of the God who's more than able to keep you on the road of life. In fact, it's his favourite word. That word, guard, appears over and over again. I'm going to do something naughty here and tell you it doesn't appear in the English translation. It does appear in Hebrew. You don't need to know Hebrew to understand 121 by any means. But every time the word keeps appears, as it does in verse 3 and verse 4, he keeps you and won't slumber. He keeps Israel. That's the word guard. Every time it talks about keeping later on, verse 7, he'll keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming. And that's the word guard. Being offered the image of God as a guard who watches over every step of your life. Three little aspects to that we're just going to quickly look at. He guards your foot, he guards your life, and he guards your way. Firstly then, God guards your feet as you make your way through the journey of life. Verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He won't let your foot be moved. That might sound a bit bizarre, but imagine making your way up the stony mountain pass. It's incredibly slippery. It's incredibly dangerous. But the Lord won't let your foot be moved as you make your way through that part of the journey. I think I'm pleased to say that when we did our Ben Nevis expedition, I don't think anyone really slipped or fell over. Might be corrected afterwards. Not true for our South Downs Way training walk, which happened in March. It was very, very slippery. The South Downs, if you know, is a mixture of chalk substructure to the soil with loads of dead leaves and slippery stuff on top of it. There's lots of clay as well. Most of us stayed dry for most of the walk, but one by one, people fell over and got very, 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 very muddy. In fact, I think we started a club. What was it called? Does anyone remember who was on it? The Tumblers Club, with people covered head to foot in mud. Needless to say, all my children, I think, were in it, as well as some adults who won't be mentioned. God will guard your feet every step of the way. His attention won't wane for a moment. It says that he doesn't slumber or sleep. It's a great sort of design fault with the human race, I think, in that when we're at our most vulnerable as little babies, you need to be watched and cared for and kept warm and well fed. We're entrusted to the care of parents who are unconscious for one third of the day. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? And yet God does not slumber nor sleep. He guards your foot every step of the way. He's with you. Whether that seems like a footstep you're making in confidence and it's secure, or whether it's tentative and frightening, he guards your foot. And secondly, he guards your life. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He guards you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun won't strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you. Again, guard you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. God guards your life. He keeps it. Now, let's just be really clear. That doesn't mean for a moment that all your problems are going to be fixed because God is looking after you. There's no promise here to airlift you out of any difficulty you face. You know, when you're sick, just trust in the Lord and it'll all be fine. There's no such promise like that, or indeed in the Bible. But we are preserved. Day by day, God guards us. Our darkest nighttime fantasies about what could happen to us in the future are just that. They're fantasies, aren't they? They never come to pass. Do things ever turn out as badly as you think they will? Of course they don't. Those are just fantasies. That's not the reality. Because every day God has so ordered his creation that he preserves you. He keeps your life. And so each day is a gift of life, upon which he adds beauty, friendship, delight, and so much more. He guards your foot, he guards your life, and he guards your way. That journey you make through life, he's with you every step of the way, so that you won't stumble and you won't stray from that path that leads to God's holy place, that leads to life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Before you were born, God knew you and delighted in you. As you're being knit together in your mother's womb, made in his precious image, he was there and knew you and delighted in you. He heard your first cry and your first laugh, and he's been with you every step of the journey since then. He watches over your going out and your coming in, and your final coming in is in God's presence, guarded by him. There's nowhere that you can stray beyond God's presence, beyond God's knowledge. He guards your foot, he guards your life, he guards your way. Such encouraging words, these, aren't they? There was an Australian soldier in the Second World War who was given one of those little Bibles that have the New Testament and Psalms in them. I was given one at school. I've still got it at home. And the pages are incredibly, incredibly thin, so you can get the whole, almost the whole Bible. In fact, not even half the Bible, is it, actually, in one small book. And I tell you that this book gave great comfort to the soldiers. Whenever he could find enough tobacco, he tore out a page from the back of the Bible, rolled it up, and made himself a lovely cigarette. And so, beginning at Psalm 150, he began to tear his way through the Psalms, working his way towards the New Testament. But as he tore out Psalm 121, he just happened to glance upon those words. This was a man set amidst great uncertainty. The mountains must have loomed ever so large in his future as a soldier fighting in the Second World War. And that psalm, those words, "I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? It comes from the Lord," changed his life. This is peace in the face of uncertainty. This is hope in the face of hopelessness. This is God with you every step of the journey. Help comes from the Lord, says Psalm 121. And if you weren't convinced that help comes from the Lord, spare a thought for what we're about to do as we gather around the Lord's table. This is help coming from the Lord, a way of remembering that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to fix the gap between us and him and adopt us as his children for eternity. We turned away from God, but help came from the Lord in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we might be friends with him for an eternity, kept on that way of life by the Lord who helps. Let me pray. Loving Father, thank you so much that you're our help, our strength and refuge. Please would we know you with us every step of life's journey. We pray particularly for those who are finding life tough at this time, hemmed in by mountains on every side, that they would know that you're keeping their foot, that you're keeping them on the road, and that you're guarding their life. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now as we affirm our faith with the words of the Creed.